You are listening to the Live Free Experience. I'm your host, Brianna Bowley, trauma coach for high performers. I believe that understanding the nervous system and all its wisdom is the key to creating and experiencing all that we desire. And I believe that honest, anything goes conversation paves the way for us to begin a healing journey that has us continuously stepping into more of who we are. I've been blessed to work with, for, and alongside some of the best of the best in their chosen fields. And it's my pleasure to be the platform to share the wisdom and insights I've gained with each of you. Together, we'll explore trauma-informed performance and optimization, business, and self-expression. So in a world where everything touches everything, I encourage you to listen selfishly and with your own circumstance in mind. As I promise, if you found yourself here, there's a piece of wisdom wanting to land in your world. All right. So I'm really stoked for this episode. I have a friend of mine who I met through an incredible coaching program years ago now. He's just a rad human with a really epic outlook on life. So I want to welcome Vic, and I'm gonna start this off by dobbing myself in. So a little backstory for your sake, Vic. I grew up at a high school that was very multicultural, and I have this like recurring fear of getting people's last names wrong, because in high school it was like if you pronounce someone's last name wrong, it was like, oh. So,
you're such a horrible person.
It's like a recurring trauma. Every time someone has like a slightly complex last name, I'm like I feel myself freaked up. So for the sake of me not completely butchering your last name, can you let everyone know what your name is?
Yeah, my name is Vic Shiv Dasani. So Shiv, like, I always give like the example of like Shiv, like you're stabbing somebody in jail. You know, and then Dasani, like the water. So it's Shiv Dasani.
Dasani, the water. I have, what's Dasani?
I guess that's an American thing. Because there's so we have like really like Coca-Cola's water company, basically. The brand is called Dasani.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have that here in Australia, so.
Fair enough. That analogy doesn't work in Australia. I will definitely keep that in mind when I go over there.
I got it with the Shiv piece, so, you know.
Yeah. There we go.
Perfect. Great start. So can you, for the sake of my listeners who don't know who you are, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Vic. My website is rollingwithvic.com. And the reason why that is because 16 years ago, I fell off of a third floor apartment balcony after a night of partying. I was 22 years old. I had this crazy accident and pretty much became a paraplegic ever since. So my journey has really been about learning how to overcome that. And as I did that, I fell into basically a whole spiritual world and learning manifestation and all of these kinds of things. And recently wrote a book called Rolling With It, Lessons Learned While Sitting Down. And so I'm a wheelchair user, and I really use my experience to bring out the best life you want, and which has everything to do with healing our traumas and having the best intentions for our lives and all of that good stuff.
Beautiful. So are you open to sharing a little bit more about the accident?
For sure. Yeah, we can go there.
Yeah. So what happened? Night out partying? I have images coming to mind of my assumptions.
Yeah. I mean, it was mainly alcohol. We drank a bunch that night. That's when we were like the cool kids, and we get bottle service at the clubs, you know? And so we did that night. I don't know. I can't even tell you how much I drank. And, we got back to my apartment, where we were having an after party. It was probably like 10 to 12 of us. And when we took cabs to and from the club, so we were like responsible drunk people, you know? And so when we got back, there was one cab missing. So I went on my balcony to call my cousin who was in the missing cab. And he was like, hey, we're like right around the corner. We'll be there soon. So I was like, all right, I hung up. And I just decided to lean over the balcony to see if I could see any headlights coming, and the last thing I remember was just kind of losing my balance, and the next thing I know, I was awoken on the ground. I don't remember falling. I don't remember any of that stuff. It was just like time just receded for a second, and then I was on the floor, not able to get up.
Wow, what was that experience like, laying there and not being able to get up?
Yeah, I was kind of in and out of consciousness as they were waking. Like my cousin had come and nobody had known what happened to me. Like, because no, like there were some people in my apartment when it happened, but I didn't make a sound. I just,
Wow.
and it was like the middle of the night. It was probably like 2:30 in the morning, and so it was really just when my cousins and that last cab came that they saw me on the ground, and they woke me up and they're like, "What happened to you?" I said, "I have no idea what happened." Like. I don't know. And I had a bloody nose, and I guess like from the fall. And they were like, "Did somebody beat you up or something?" And I was like, "No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody beat me up." Like I really couldn't even recollect like what was going on. So I was just going in and out. And I remember just trying to get up, stand up, and so I was like nothing's working. And I was just drunk because I was just like, "You know what, guys? Like maybe you can just kind of like help me up and like go up." And they actually picked me up and started carrying me up the stairs. And it was like, once I realized, once we were on the stairs, I got a couple of snapshots. That was me in the balcony, kind of losing my balance. And I was like, oh shit, because I actually think I fell off the balcony. That's the moment it hit me. And then that's when they called 911 and the paramedics and the whole deal.
Wow. Fuck. I'm like trying to imagine that situation and it's giving me goosebumps, to be honest. So what was your thought process as you kind of realized what had happened and what that meant?
I was just hoping it wasn't that bad. Like, I didn't know what had happened to me, and obviously something was significant, but I think in my mind I was just kind of like, it's just gonna be fine. I was in the ambulance, and it just really felt like I was in a scene in a movie or one of those like hospital-based TV shows. Like I was just like, wow, like this is what it feels like to be in an ambulance. Like, okay, but again, I was still kind of in and out. I went to the hospital. You got a bunch of people coming and doing tests on you and X-rays and all this stuff, and just a lot of scrambling. And nobody looked like promising that came to me. Like all the health of employees and stuff were coming in and like just with scared faces. And everybody I saw was just like, oh, this does not look good. And it really was like then like towards that next morning, like a few hours later, they did spinal fusion surgery on me. They said that I broke my T10 and T11 vertebrae on my back, which is kind of like right around like your belly button, right under your belly button. And so they did surgery, put rods and screws in my back, stabilize my spine, but they said that my spinal cord was really pinched, was really affected. And they gave me a 5% chance of ever walking again. And it was just kind of crazy because 4 days later, like I was in the hospital, I had surgery. They gave me this brace, this plastic brace to wear over my torso. And then like 4 days later, I went to rehab to start learning how to live life like this. So it was just like boom, 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 like it was quick.
So what was it like then that, because I'm just thinking of that quickly to go from like making a phone call to your cousin to then waking up and I can't get up and then having that experience of then like oh this is now I have to learn how to live like this. Like what was going through your head?
I was not accepting. I was really just, there's no way this is going to be my life. And everyone I met, like in the rehab hospital and the doctors and the therapists that I would meet, like they were just like, all right, like they were saying you're showing signs that you're a complete injury, which is like they have it in they grade it on a scale of like letters, and so I got A, which contrary to school would be really good. This was the worst thing you could get, and so they said I was a complete injury, so it's like more chances that I'm not gonna get much back or that I was not gonna come out of it. And I was just like, fuck these people, dude. Like I don't care what anybody says. And I was probably in rehab for like a month, went home for a while, I think about like 4 months or something like that. And then once I had healed completely from surgery, I went back to rehab for like another month. And so that after that, because I didn't really get any hope from like the medical space, I started doing a lot of research, and I did all sorts of alternative treatments, like from Ayurvedic stuff to stem cells to all this stuff. And a lot of this stuff wasn't, at like stem cells and stuff wasn't like as accepted in America. And so for those 4 years, I traveled the world and literally tried, I don't know how many things I tried, and just went to all these different countries on my parents' dime to try to find an answer to it. And it really was those 4 years, nothing worked. Like, I tried all these like high tech next level stuff and nothing really worked. And at the time, like, I also was a very angry kid. And, like, you know, there was, I wasn't in the emotional state for healing, but I went to India as my last stop in those 4 years. And I have one of my dad's cousins, she's one of his elder cousins. She's a guru, a spiritual guru in India. And I'd always, like, whenever I met her at family functions or events, like, I never really thought anything of it. But we had gone, and I think it was August 2009, to India to meet with her. And, like, I, at this point, I was just like, I need answers. I know that she's, like, this person that serves people and, like, whatever. Like, I need, she needs to tell me something. So I, when I went to India, there was one moment that I was with her. And I just asked her, I was like, I've tried so many things and, like, nothing has worked. Like, what am I supposed to do? Right. How am I supposed to live like this? And she just, like, rather simply, like, so loving and just really chill. She's like, if this is your life right now, how are you going to live it? You know? And that was, like, the biggest game changing question for me, because it was like those 4 years of just really depressed, kind of not accepting, like, not even giving myself, like, the mental possibility of seeing what could be possible living my life in a wheelchair. And that sentence was like, oh, okay, it actually freed me, because I was like attached to this possibility of healing myself at that time. And then now moving into, like, all right, what is possible? And in that next year, I moved, my accident happened in Houston. And then I went back home, which is the city of McAllen, Texas. It's like 5 hours from Houston. And I moved back to Houston after the, about like a year, about 6 months or so after I spoke with this lady. And that's when I got into wheelchair basketball and all these, like, wheelchair sports and wheelchair activities. And that's when I started seeing just, like, a lot of synchronicities. And I'll just say this piece real quick. When I first got to Houston, as I was driving down the road, like, that first week I was there, I saw a billboard that said Abilities Expo. And it was like this giant show, this giant expo that had everything to do with disabilities, from, you know, health, you know, medical supply companies, to, like, wheelchair companies, to wheelchair sports, to, like, even, like, deaf equipment, like, every, like, all disability stuff. This giant show. And it just so happened to be happening in Houston for the first time ever, the weekend after I moved there, you know. And I got there and then, like, linked up with all these people. And so, like, that was like the beginning of really, like, opening up into this world. And yeah. And so, and then that's when, you know, I had to face a lot of things that I didn't think that I could do. Like, you just have, like, a lot of fears when you get thrown into a new situation like that, especially physical. And so it was just, like, victory after victory. Like, every single thing that I thought, like, grocery shopping or whatever it was, like, once I was able to achieve that task, it was like, dude, I can do anything. And it's just kind of built up from there, you know?
You know, like, for me, I'm a very active person. I really think, like, losing the ability to walk is, like, I think that's probably one of my greatest fears. So I can only imagine what it must be like. I mean, I had an experience, and this feels silly to even talk about, you know, in contrast, but I had an experience a couple of years ago where I was actually a charity walk. I was a crew member for a charity walk to raise money for a charity. And my job was to drive the motorhome alongside the walker. And so, you know, we were going, like, I don't know, like, we'd move a kilometer every 5 minutes kind of thing. And that was my reality for, like, 53 days out in the Australian outback. And I remember, like, during those 53 days, just, like, feeling so physically trapped, you know, like, and so frustrated. And, you know, like, I had my, what do you call it? Is it a pedometer that tracks your steps, you know? And I'd get 70 steps for my total for the day, you know, because I was just sitting behind the wheel of this motorhome. And I remember, you know, at the end of those 53 days going, oh my God, like, to not be able to walk and, you know, to just sit constantly, like, is actually my worst fear. So I have so much respect for you and your outlook on life, given, you know, given where you're at. I think it's because I can't even comprehend.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I think actually it's a pretty cool analogy that you just used there, because, you know, I'd say probably especially the first year, and especially in those 4 years, and I mean, even times now where, like, I can definitely relate to that feeling trapped. And it's like feeling trapped in your own body,
yes,
right? Which is like a really fucked up thing. And so, you know, I remember having just a lot of moments in those first years where it was just kind of like, why can't I just move this? You know, and you know, just really feeling frustrated and kind of all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's not a situation I recommend or wish on anyone. But I will say that, you know, because I've had to experience that level of feeling trapped, and, you know, really just there's nothing that will happen in my life anymore that is going to be anywhere near as close or scary, or, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that I feel like I can't do. It's really given me this, I mean, except for like going upstairs, but, like, you know, like, I'm just saying, like anything I face, any challenge that comes my way, any situation that's really there, it's like I've been through something that is really incomparable to anything, really. And so the fears and stuff don't really show up, but it's just that as they do, like, I just have such an awareness of what I've been through that I'm excited to kind of take it on, like, bring it on. Like, I got this. Like, and I know that there's other forces at play and all that stuff too. And so it's been a blessing and a curse, you know? Yeah. So there's other ways to get it.
Yeah. I love the way you put that piece around, you know, that it's like anything less than what you've experienced is just kind of like, you know, it makes me think of, have you ever seen the movie Fight Club?
Yeah.
It makes me think of, there's a quote which I love in Fight Club, and I'm going to completely butcher it, but it's basically, you know, he's talking about how once you've been in a fight, a physical fight, you know, it turns the volume down on everything else. Like, right, everything else feels really easy in comparison because you've been in this, you know, fight for survival. So, you know, that's what I hear, at least when you speak about that, because it's like you've been to the depths of, you know, this challenge that no doubt would, you know, it's all encompassing. It affects every facet of your life in some way. So anything less than that is like, yeah, you know, piece of cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, like, I'm 16 years in being in a wheelchair, but I still, like, I've seen so much, right? And I've experienced a lot in just the people I've been kind of exposed to, people like Dr. Joe Dispenza and this lady, Anita Mirjani, who had this crazy healing from cancer. And there's been a lot of, like, I've witnessed a lot of miracles. And so because I've seen that, been, you know, I know it's possible, right, to get out of the wheelchair one day. And I'm not living in a state where it's like, you know, and I was definitely there at times, but I'm not in a state where I just, like, wish or hope, like, things are different. But I'm just living my life, like, in complete acceptance of where I'm at and whatever's kind of coming in. But at the same time, believing in that possibility, right? Like, you know, for some people, like, the dream is to have a thriving business and the family and, like, all that stuff. And, you know, I have some, you know, connection to that too. But my big dream here, as long as I'm living on this earth, like, and I'm shooting for the stars kind of thing, I'm always going to believe that in that possibility, you know?
Yeah. I love that you brought up Dr. Joe Dispenza, because that was kind of, his name was in the background there as I was listening. So
I'm going to a workshop next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, dope. I don't know. His name has always kind of circulated in my world. So have you looked into much of his work before?
Yeah, and actually, this is my 10th workshop, my 10th Dr. Joe workshop, and I talk about six of them in this book, and it's like, they're just unreal, you know, because there, you know, the one I'm going to next week is 4 days, and then he has these week longs, but you're with like, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 people, depending on the event, you know, meditating, like in very like neuroscientific specific, you know, ways. And you're with, you know, so many people that are doing this at the same time. And you're probably doing like 7 to 8 hours of meditation a day, plus really learning scientifically how you function, how we create things in our life energetically. Mm. And and like, I just have met like my deepest soul family at these events as well. It's just magical, right? Because it's like with that many people at an event, but like you, like certain people you get drawn to and you just keep bumping into each other at these events. You know what I mean? It's just so interesting how that works. But yeah, I mean, Dr. Joe workshops are one of my favorite things in the world. Mm, they're so cool.
Yeah. What a beautiful blessing to come out of something, you know, to, like you said, to have this kind of soul family that you may not have found if it weren't for the situation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, my wheelchair, my accident has like so much to do with it, because even after I wasn't focused on like a lot of alternative treatments and stuff, it became like learning about energy and manifestation. And, you know, I've had one-on-one conversations with Dr. Joe about sort of, I've just been lucky to be in certain spaces that like allowed me that. And he also had a spinal cord injury and he healed from it, but he has a whole different story. Like, he didn't even like let himself have surgery. He just went straight into his house or to wherever he was staying and literally was restructuring his spine with his mind. He went home in a full body cast, and like, you know, 3-4 doctors are like, you got to have surgery, you got to do all that. And he's just like, no, I'm not doing nothing. Goes home in a full body cast and literally just restructures his entire spine with his mind. And that's what led him to doing this work, you know, because he healed himself. But it's just, you know, it's just interesting. I would have never, like, there's certain things in life that you just know were like, it was completely meant to be. Like, it was just, you know, I think there's like, we have wiggle room when we talk about free will and certain things, but there's certain moments where it's just like, this was a definitive thing that was meant to happen to take you in a certain journey, to take you in a certain course. And I think, you know, that's the hardest things to accept sometimes, because it usually comes from like grave situations. But when you really do and allow yourself to go on the ride, like buckle your seatbelt, you know, it's just, it's crazy. I've just been, I don't know, this is popping in my head right now, but I've just like really, like things have been really crazy in my life recently. And I just want to like share this. I went to Austin like a few weeks ago, right? And you know, just talking about synchronicities, right? Synchronicities are these funny coincidences that happen in life. I went to this workshop. I mean, not this workshop. I went to this fall equinox ceremony over there. And there was this dude at the end of the ceremony that came to me, and he was just, he's kind of new to meditating and a lot of this stuff. And he was just like, yeah, like, I really love this stuff. How did you get into your spiritual journey? And I was like, how much time you got, you know? And, you know, I told him a bunch of the synchronicities, certain people, Dr. Joe, and just all these connections that I've made. And he was like, wow, like, I've never, like, you have such a crazy story. I've never really seen anything to this level. And I'm like, yeah, like, it's been kind of crazy. And so we exchanged info or whatever. 2 days later, I go to a comedy show with another friend unrelated to anything. And we go there, we get to our two seats, right? And it's like the small black circle tables. And we're in our seats. And right before the show starts, the ushers come and we're going to put 2 more people at your table. And I literally was like, what the hell? And I look at my friend, and I'm like, that's bullshit. They're going to put people on the smallest table. And these 2 dudes walk in, and one of the dudes is the dude from the ceremony. And it was just like, oh my God, this is crazy.
That's so good. I love stuff like that.
Yeah. So really, I mean, like the reason why I just wanted to say that was just because, like, you know, I'm not sorry for my accident, you know, and like this has caused me to look at life in a different way and allow myself to fall into this. And like, even though this is not like, it's just a funny coincidence and interesting how that like kind of happens, but like, I live for this stuff. Like, I love this stuff. And so, like, because of everything I've been through, or especially being in a wheelchair, it's kind of led me into living life this way. And so I'm really grounded in that, I think.
That chokes me up, what you said there, that, you know, I'm not sorry for my accident, you know, and I've obviously never experienced anything as extreme. And I deeply believe that, you know, everything is exactly as it needs to be and that there is gold in all of it. And I think, you know, my experience is that we tend to, and it's human nature, like it makes sense that we do, we invest so much time and energy and focus into resisting what is, rather than kind of relaxing into, well, what's actually here for me. And so, you know, like in these extreme cases like yours, it's, I think it's so fucking cool to see, you know, that you've relaxed into what is there and allowed it to actually direct you and guide you. And now you're having all these, you know, experiences of synchronicity, which I do believe is kind of like an affirmation of like, you're right where you need to be, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, that chokes me up to hear you say.
You know, it hasn't always been that way, you know. Have you met or have you heard of, you know, of Wayne Dyer?
Yes.
So I met Wayne Dyer like in 2011. And this dude literally told me, that's like 5 years into my accident, right? Like he literally goes, this is the best thing that ever happened to you.
And you were like,
I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, what are you talking about? You know, and it's funny because that has stuck with me that he said that, because he did hit a chord. But it's forced me, it really planted a seed and forced me to kind of see that, right? And really see where, and now I feel like I'm truly living it. But like, it took a long time definitely to, because I mean, I think I even would like say it sometimes, like almost like wanting to believe it. But like, I can truly say like now, like I just feel like aligned to it because I'm having fun, you know?
Fuck yeah. And I love that you take the piss out of it in many ways, you know? Like before we hit record, for the listener's sake, one of the first things I said to Vic was like, well, you know, I haven't really planned anything specifically that I want to speak on. Is there anything in particular you want to speak on? And Vic, your response was, oh, I'll just roll with it.
Yeah.
It was you. Hey, you did a stand-up comedy gig?
Yeah, sit down, yeah. Not stand-up. Yeah, yes.
That was your opening line? I was like, yes.
Yeah, so actually in 2013, 2014, like probably like 2 or 3 years around like the mid-20 teens or whatever, I was a comedian. I did sit down, not stand-up, and it was mostly, I mean, I wasn't like a big comedian. It was just kind of something I did kind of as a hobby, like for fun, but I would perform all around Houston, like the big comedy clubs and a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I talk about, you know, a perspective that people don't really hear. And so it's definitely a lot of fun. It's something actually I want to come back to more and more. It's like, I feel like, you know, you go through life and there's like, you like kind of not master, but you kind of experience a certain gift or a hobby or space of yours. And it moves into like these different things, right? Because I went into coaching and then speaking even and stuff, just personal, my own journey, understanding how to like release stuff and figuring a lot of that kind of stuff. And then now I feel like I'm in a place where it's like, how does it all fit together? You know, I want to bring it all together now instead of it just kind of these different spaces. So it's funny, like comedy's been, I don't know what you saw, you might have saw like a post or like I've even been like an open mic nights like recently where I've like posted some stuff in my story, but like certain things have just been coming up, like pulling me back to that side, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, I love that. So I'm curious, because I, you know, I know that you do the coaching and that sort of, that, you know, all of that sort of work. What kind of people come to you for coaching? You know, what's the main sort of thing that you find yourself supporting people through?
Yeah, so what kind of people? You know, I work with a lot of professionals, a lot of people who, you know, at the end of the day, just really never learned how to truly feel their emotions. And that was me for a very long time. You know, I was a big drinker before my accident, and I didn't realize that I was just avoiding my own pain by kind of doing that. And so I've learned a lot of like just ticks and trips. What am I saying? Tricks and tips. I said trips and what is ticks? but yeah, I've just, you know, learned a lot of things over the years. And so I teach people meditation and how to really release emotions and accept the moments in your life and learn how to tap into your intuition. So really people who professionals who like have really checked off like quite a bit of boxes in their life, but are really trying to find that true, like, deeper fulfillment. And, you know, a lot of people go into life checking those boxes, what do you call it, getting into their work, their job, and eventually start waking up with anxiety every day. You know, where it's just like where that's like your biggest motivating factor in life, and like what people are just kind of building on this. And it's really just this negative pain, stored, suppressed stuff that you've not really felt through, not really processed. And so I feel like I get a lot of people that are kind of in that space and not really understanding really how to get there. And so I help you get there. I help you feel it. I help you release it. I help you build the skills for yourself to live a completely different perspective. It's not anymore about people pleasing and bottling your emotions and like all of that stuff. It's about really tuning into what you truly want, what your soul wants, what is really going to fulfill you, and how to just release all the noise and to get to that clarity.
Do you feel like the accident kind of tuned you into that? Like, what's really important in life?
Yeah. I think that's a big part. So that's an interesting question. So after my accident, so I'm Indian, right? And like, you know, like in Hindu, and we just have like such a really hardcore culture, I think, like very traditional, like when it comes to like getting married and just a lot of that stuff, right? I mean, everybody's some degree, but I just think like Indians are like a little bit crazy. But like when my accident happened, all those pressures dropped, right? All the like nobody was worried, like nobody was asking me when I'm getting married anymore, you know, nobody's like, I'm not getting that anymore. And for a while, I mean, that made me feel kind of bad a little bit, like it's like you're treating me differently. But it was like also a big gift, because now that the societal cultural pressures were kind of off, like it actually just gave me room to focus on what really matters and what's true, you know.
Yeah. So I'm curious, and I hope you don't mind me asking, like you mentioned before the accident, you know, you're a big drinker, and that you had the realization that it was kind of an avoidance thing. Did you kind of, after the accident, did you stop drinking, or was it still kind of used as a coping mechanism for a while there? Or
yeah, it was still used as a coping mechanism for a while, mostly because, you know, in that 4-year period where I was kind of traveling and looking for other options, I was still the same. Like I wasn't healing. I wasn't, you know, feeling, I didn't know anything about emotions. So I would still fall into getting drunk at certain times and stuff like that. And in that time, and probably it was a good time during that time, I also got like heavily into marijuana, you know, to just calm things down. And I think kind of diverting my addiction to marijuana was helpful back then. But I probably once I really started like meditating and like, you know, and which was, you know, really around like 2014, 2015, there was a 3-year span. So I gotta say this part. So from 2014 to 2017, I had back-to-back-to-back health conditions that made me pretty much bedridden for 3 to 6 months at a time. Wow. And that was a crazy period. So like I had my accident being in a wheelchair, like this was kind of on I don't know if I want to say another level, but it was just to be stuck like that as a trapped again in another way was like, you have no other choice but to actually deal with your stuff. And so, you know, it didn't matter how much weed I smoked, it didn't matter how much TV I watched or like whatever, my stuff was coming up. And so that's when I really got into journaling and like, you know, releasing stuff. And so it was, I think, really in that period where I had this awareness that my addictions to alcohol and weed at the time was based on me not feeling the stuff. And really after the, like in that period was kind of like, all right, like I don't need to use the stuff as much anymore.
So following the recent requests for nervous system-based dating advice, I have taken it upon myself to bring you Wildfire. Now, Wildfire is a free Telegram channel designed to support you in creating an inspired, embodied, steamy love life. This is for the woman who perhaps, you know, has been out of the game for a while, is new to dating and is feeling a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit anxious, a little bit overwhelmed, or
for the woman who, you know, is just wanting to experience something deeper in their love life. So this channel will be full of free content on all things attachment style, emotional regulation, nervous system regulation, healing from past breakups and challenges, masculine and feminine dynamics, and I'll even be littering in some of the inside scoop in my own dating world that I never share publicly. Now, I'll be doing this through the lens of really helping you to have real world examples of just how good it gets to be. So if this is something that you're interested in, you can find the link to join Wildfire in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you in there.
Thank you for sharing. I love what you said there, that, you know, you tend to work with a lot of people who, you know, they've got the success, or the, you know, they've got the business success, they've got the financial success, and yet there's something missing. Because, you know, I work with similar people. I have the pleasure of working with a lot of really high performers in business and sport. And, you know, on the surface, it's like they've made it, like they've got it all, you know, but behind the scenes, they've always sort of been running and creating from this survival state. And it's almost been a way of kind of outrunning what's underneath the surface. And so, you know, I think society in general, and I know I definitely was this person for a long time, it's really easy to look at the person who's got the money or got the body or got the car or the partner or the job or the family or, you know, the white picket fence or whatever, and kind of go, they've got it and I don't. But, you know, it's in my experience, it's a lot of the time that those people, not always, of course, but, you know, the people who seem to have it all together outwardly are the ones who are really struggling inwardly. So to me, you represent a really beautiful contrast of, like, you know, you've done the work, you've excavated a lot of the inward stuff. So, yeah, I think, yeah, amazing message, really incredible message.
Thank you. It's interesting you bringing up that point, because something, you know, regularly seeing people who have, like, checked some boxes, that things that you want, that you kind of feel envious towards or whatever, like being in a wheelchair or like having the situation of like having to, you know, change into this person in a wheelchair. I dealt with that a lot in the beginning too, right? Like really seeing like everybody else I know is walking and able to kind of focus on that. And I learned, you know, really starting at the rehab hospital and stuff, that I was exposed to like a lot of people in worse situations than me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like quadriplegics and, you know, a lot of things of that, you know, nature, people who can't really use their arms, even people who are confined to a motorized wheelchair, people who need help all, like 24/7. Right. And, you know, so I had like that perspective, and I was always like fighting, kind of conflicting with both of them, because I'd be exposed to that. At least it's not my situation, but hey, like I want that. And as I, you know, kind of move forward and like lost really that needs, like, just, it forced me to really just see my life for what it was and accept it for what it was and really just see what I was kind of being led to. So that was like kind of another blessing in that sense also. And it's just that, you know, and that's, again, I'm going to say this, like, I don't recommend my situation. It did help, right? It did help me to kind of get to this like framework, but, you know, it doesn't have to be that hard. And if you, you know, you or me and people like us that have kind of been on the journey that can guide you into really getting into those spaces, because this is just unfulfillment. And this is just, society has had this, you know, course kind of set for us where if we check all these boxes, we're going to be happy and we're going to be able to, you know, live that stuff. And none of it, you know, like, I feel bad sometimes when people have like a bunch of kids, you know, like, and it's like, they got the family and they got whatever. And it's just like, on some level, you know, like, if we're not really going into the inner work stuff, if we're not really getting that fulfillment within, then you're just consuming. And it's all just a series of temporary happinesses and not that more like deeper sense. So, you know, it is about, like, you know, noticing when you are kind of comparing yourself to others, like, you know, that's kind of like not the habit you want to have, but, you know, coming back to yourself and, you know, understanding that even that in itself is just lack or some emotion that's triggering you to look outside of yourself to like feel a certain way. And the work is always within, and it's not easy, but it's the way. It's what you're looking for, you know?
Yeah. I often think of anything outside of us, you know, the money, the house, the family, all of that is just, it's just an amplifier of what's going on within, you know. It's just going to turn up the volume on what's, you know, what we've mastered and also what we haven't yet looked at. And it always reminds me of, I remember when COVID first hit and, you know, Sam Smith, the singer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember he had put out something on his social media voicing that he was struggling. He was struggling with loneliness. He was struggling with the uncertainty of, you know, navigating COVID. And I remember someone reposted it to, and it popped up on my Facebook timeline. And he basically said, you know, like, this guy's a multimillionaire. He's, you know, lives in a mansion, like how dare he, you know, voice that he's struggling when, like, he's living in luxury during a time when we're all locked down. And I kind of sat with that, and what came to me was, like, you know, and obviously this is a huge assumption on my part of Sam Smith's experience of COVID, but
right.
I kind of sat with it and was like, no, that must be actually really difficult to you know, be going through COVID and having the experience of COVID and what all of us were navigating through COVID of, like, maybe that loneliness if you're a, you know, single person and you're stuck in your home during lockdown and all of that. It would be amplified for someone who's rich and famous, you know. It would really amplify the fact of, like, I'm here in this mansion on my own.
Nobody's here. I don't have
money and I'm still feeling like shit here, you know.
Yeah.
And so that has always stuck with me of, like, more stuff out here only ever amplifies what's there within, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's interesting. COVID, I think, you know, really brought a lot of that out for people. I think there was a lot of people that just, you know, life was kind of going good, you know? And then,
yeah.
You know, like, for me, for, like, when COVID hit, like, I was just like, oh, I'm ready for this. Like, I got this, dude. Like, I've been in my training. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, like, it was just so left field. And what a time to be living in, you know? Like, yeah. Really, like, it's just these last couple of years and, like, all the things that's happened. And, you know, there is, you know, I feel like I'm coming across more and more every day people that are, like, waking up more and more to this, like, people that are really, like, you know, like, I've just lived this lie for my whole life. And now I'm understanding, like, why, like, I need help and I need to live a different way. And it's really kind of exciting to be part of this journey, to be able to help people in this time and to do this work, because it's about time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that. I definitely feel that COVID woke a lot of people up, you know, and because, like, even for me, I had the experience of, you know, being an entrepreneur and doing things my way my whole life. I was often met with, you know, kind of questioning of, like, when are you going to get a real job? You know, like, when are you going to live in the real world? And, like, I'd be lying if I said that hearing that constantly didn't kind of have me start to question, like, am I living this fantasy? Like, do I have some sort of, like, Peter Pan syndrome where I'm refusing to kind of grow up?
Right.
And then it was so nuts for me because when COVID hit, all of these people in my life who had, you know, lived in the real world and had their job and whatever else, all of a sudden they were either, you know, losing their income and having their hours cut or completely losing their jobs.
Right. And
nothing changed for me.
Right.
You know? Like, my business was pretty much unaffected. The only thing that changed about my life was that it was a little bit tougher to go home and see my family interstate.
Right.
But, you know, for me, I was like, wow, like, these stories of living in the real world and having job security and all of that, like, yes, in a...
Not real. You
know, yeah, it's an illusion, like...
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, COVID really served as, like, you've got it, Bree. Like, you've just keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for me too. I mean, like, you know, I kind of struggled a little bit because... I think a lot of my family just got into, and not my direct family, my extended family just got into a lot of the fear and whatever. And because of, you know, I've worked with Dr. Joe, I've done with a lot of stuff, I've, you know, lived an experience of being in a wheelchair. Like, it just kind of came back to like, I'm not afraid of this. And people kind of took that like arrogantly, you know, like just kind of like, who are you? Like, COVID doesn't care who you are or whatever. It's not that like, and you know, I just didn't fall into the hype. But it really became like the most magical time of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I just started meeting, like all these people started coming into my space, like teachers, channelers. Like, I went, I don't know if you're like familiar with Mount Shasta, but that's like, it's a vortex in Northern California. And I went there like August 2020, just completely just guided to go. And I just met like these incredible healers. And I was just like, whoa. And like my life kind of went to like another level from there. And then that was like August 2020. And then January 21, I moved to Sedona, which is like another like crazy vortex in Arizona. And like, it's just kind of like, and it was just, you know, when you see synchronicities, and I'm going to give you here an example real quick, just the way this happened was crazy. So in October 2020, right, I just got this like download, like, you've never been in Sedona, go check out Sedona. And when I went to Mount Shasta that August, I had met a couple, these two people, that the only ones in there that lived in Sedona. And for whatever reason, everywhere I went in Mount Shasta, we'd go all these different restaurants and stuff outside. I went for like a metaphysical workshop over there, or an event. And I would meet him out, like I just kept bumping into this dude outside of the venue, like every day, like just, you know, totally like, why is this happening? And then I had this download a couple months later to go to Sedona. He's like the only guy that I know over there. So I was just like, so at first it was just a thought, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it go. Like, I'm making this up or whatever. I second guessed it. And a month later, this other lady, this channeler that I met in Mount Shasta, I'm just having a conversation with her. And she goes, are you thinking about going to Sedona? Because I'm getting that if you're thinking about going, that you should go. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I was like, I literally hadn't told anybody that. Right. So I was like, okay, universe, if that's what you want me to do, send me one more sign. All right. If you want me to go, I want one more. A week later, my friend who like I don't even talk to that much, like he's not in like he's like really unrelated to a lot of stuff. He hits me up and he goes, yo, man, just a text. I just came back from Sedona. You would love Sedona. And I'm like, oh, my God. So this is like around like Thanksgiving, like mid-November 2020. And then I book a trip like December 18th to 22nd. And I go there for 4 days. I call this dude up and I go, and it's like, you know, I'm just like, it's one of the most beautiful places. There's like red rock mountains everywhere. It's a small like town, really, like 10, 15,000 people live over there, but it's very spiritually centric. It's like very ceremonies. There's a lot of like, you know, you can go to a restaurant and talk to a waiter about synchronicities. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, it's a cool vibe. And I was just like, 4 days is not enough. And the dude that I met in Mount Shasta that I connected with over there, I picked him up for lunch one day, or the day before I left, and he just got into a fight with a dude that was living with him, and had to kick him out because he wasn't paying his bills. And so like he literally gets in my car and he's just like venting about what just happened. And I was like, huh, interesting. The next day I fly home and I'm just like, I gotta go back. And I call this dude and I'm like, tell me about your place. And he's like, well, it's on the bottom floor. So it was like a 2-floor townhouse. So on the bottom floor, it's got a big bathroom and it's got a closet with a low hanging rack. And I was just like, and so like I went to Sedona, I think just like a few weeks later, and ended up living there for the year. But I'm just kind of like, you know, like it was just like all these crazy things like happened after COVID. It was just like, I don't even care if people think I'm arrogant, dude. Like, I'm having a good time right now.
Yeah, I feel that. Honestly, like, dare I say it, COVID was one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, like I really feel like it anchored me in a lot to like why I'm here. And like, really, you know, like I had like I said, the only thing that really changed about my life was that I wasn't able to fly home as easily to visit my family.
Right.
But, you know, flights escalated and, you know, all these different things. And what really landed for me was I was like I get to make more money, so right. that, you know, I get to really like use this time to get my message out there and help a lot more people and make a lot more money so that I have the resources available to me at the drop of a hat to fly over and see family when I can, and to know that, you know, the second the world opens up, I'm over there, regardless of how much flights cost.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, for me, it was like perfect. Like, I just get to keep doing more of what I'm doing. And yeah, it was really just a one giant, slightly traumatic affirmation for me of my path, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And like at a time also where more people are receptive to hearing you.
Totally.
Yeah. It's really been an interestingly cool period, you know? Like, I do know some people who are still like not really leaving the house, which, you know, kind of blows my mind, but you know, and there's no like knock on it, like it's just kind of, you know, you're choosing fear a lot of times more in those kind of situations, and that's not an easy life to live, coming from a place, from a dude who has been trapped and stuck in situations, and it's just, I can't, like, for me, I can't imagine, you know, like holding myself back to that much. But you know, like, we are really living in this like paradigm shift, and it's not so much, it's not anymore about the stress and the functioning from those negative emotions and using your anxiety as your motivation and like all of that stuff, and rather, you know, releasing the stuff. Like, we're supposed to live life calmly and peacefully.
Yes.
We're supposed to be kind to ourselves. We're supposed to, challenges come up, and we're supposed to already have the confidence to know that you can get through it. Like, you know, and that's what I think we're, you know, moving into and changing from. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
I think that we definitely get to practice seeing, you know, like, as we've said, COVID has brought up so much for so many people. And so, you know, I really encourage anyone who's listening to this to practice seeing what comes up as like an invitation or an opportunity to go, well, what's here for me? And like, what's, you know, this fear, like, what is it calling forward? You know, if there's fear around catching COVID itself, well, maybe it's a call to be more mindful of your health, or to, you know, bring in more support, rather than kind of letting it be. It's that difference between letting something be the reason why you can't versus the reason why you must.
You know, I could have totally just said, I'm never going to be able to live my life in a wheelchair and, you know, stay home and be taken care of or whatever. And, you know, that was never an option, you know, to that degree. But I mean, I just kind of look at it in that way. And there's something, you know, there's something awesome about facing fear. There's something awesome about, you know, like really like being in the fire of things, being in the fire of possibilities of things that can go well, but also holding that like intention of things going right, you know, and seeing how things play out from that perspective. Like, there's something really powerful of being able to be in your own fears, in your own situations, and still just overcoming, right? Overcoming and believing. And it's just like, that's, you know, like, I'm getting revved up, I feel like, just by saying what I'm saying right now, because it's just, it's really exciting to be in that state. If, you know, if you can feel what I'm talking about, like, really, just, you know, it's be in the fire. It's okay. You know, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
And you're going to come out stronger and more capable than you'd ever thought yourself to be.
Yeah, I've really been sitting with that awareness in particular the last 4 months. Like, I really feel like this past year I've been getting my ass handed to me, like just getting my ass kicked, pummeled by the universe. And yet, like, it's really landed for me of late, like, I'm a badass motherfucker. Like, look at everything I've overcome, you know? Like, there's been days where I'm like, fuck this shit. Like, please give me a break. And then, you know, like, and I've just one foot in front of the other. And when it's felt hard, just, okay, just focus on the next, you know, the next thing. And, like, now on reflection, how much it's grown me and how much, I mean, I don't even recognize who I am in comparison to who I was a year ago, you know? So it's like, I fucking love this shit, you know? Like, I'm here for it. Like, what's the next challenge? Bring it on, kind of thing, you know? So, Yeah, I really believe all of it happens for us. Every challenge, every problem, you know, every adversity is just a call to pull forward that next little piece of ourselves that we haven't yet met.
Yeah, I this year's been pretty like tough for me to kind of echo that sentiment. Like, just a lot of stuff showed up because I was in Sedona for a year. I moved back to Texas to last December 21, and there was just a lot that kind of came with that. And it was like, just because I also realized the way I was functioning with my business before was more like, was still a little bit of that anxiety motivator kind of vibe. Like, I, you know, it wasn't like fully on like a lot of people, but it was still kind of like hinted there. And there was some deep work that I had to do and face like some stuff and really be in the fire. But yeah, in the same kind of sense, like coming out of that, like, no, like, you know, like when you are kind of doing this work, there are moments, especially when it's heavy like that, where you're just kind of like, is this going to end? Like, am I ever going to get out of it? But it's just that also when you've done it a good amount of times, you know, you're going to get out of it. You're just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to keep putting, like you said, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And once you come out of it, it's like this whole other thing. And it's like, and that's what I feel like in the last couple of months, that's been my experience. And just really seeing a lot of things coming to me a lot more effortlessly, and me feeling more grounded in what my message is. And, you know, like I'm starting to speak to high schools now.
Yes.
And yeah. I actually just did a high school club yesterday. It was like the first gig, really, or whatever, like as stepping on this new journey. And there was a part of me that was kind of going in there like, you know, should I really practice? And like, I want to make sure I say this, and, you know, just that kind of still kind of based in fear. But, you know, that thought process that kind of came up. And it's just interesting, like the way your mind plays, because like the moment I got up there and like spoke and was just kind of me, it was so fluid and natural and whatever. And I remember just the time where I was like, I needed to know every word I was going to say, you know, like just kind of like just practicing it over and over again. If I missed a word, like, you know, you're going to miss the next sentence and what happens? Like, I was just had a lot of anxiety kind of like about that. And I've always kind of held this dream of like being a speaker. And so it was really cool just to like kind of be me and like be fluid and have that experience. And next Wednesday, I'm speaking to 800 kids, 800 high schools. And I did a meditation with the kids yesterday. And so like, I don't know how this is going to go. You know, I'm really kind of just like allowing and seeing how things kind of happen here. But my intention is to get all these people to like all these high schoolers to meditate and to like, you know, really hear me out here and what I'm saying. And it's going to be interesting. It's really exciting. And I think I'm about to change a lot of lives.
Yeah. Oh, that gives me that gives me goosebumps. I get like tingles through my skin.
Truth bumps.
Yeah. Like changing the next generation, the way, you know, the way they process, like, and the way they see the world, I think like that's where it's at, you know. That stuff excites the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm kind of like putting the focus, because, you know, I'm trying to be funny with this stuff, but I'm talking just about how people are emotionally constipated, you know. You know, and so like I'm literally like telling them, like, because, you know, like a lot of us were suppressed emotions for a long time. When you start this work, it's a lot of stuff, right? It's a lot of pain, a lot of stuff that you got to like move through initially, so you get to kind of like more of a regular. So like I kind of just compare that to like, if you've never pooped before, right? if you just held that in, and then the first time you're pooping, like, it's gonna be overwhelming, right? It's gonna be a lot of fucking poop. And then, so it's going to take a while before you get to your regular like 1 to 2 poops a day, you know. And so like, and so I kind of explained it that way, but it's landing pretty well, you know.
Yeah,
it's, I even told them, I was like, you know, anytime, I was like a lot of your parents probably don't know this, you know, so next time like you see your parents like getting really frustrated or like feeling really anxious or something, just tell them, Mom, you're really emotionally constipated right now, you know, and probably need yeah, I mean, it's interesting where I'm taking this, you know.
I love that though. That's such a great analogy.
Yeah, I'm kind of in like the thoughts of writing a new book. Yeah. This book is like really, you know, my story, my journey, and really like vulnerably showing you like the steps and the thoughts and everything that kind of came with my journey to being where I am today. But this is going to be a little bit more specific and hands-on, and I'm calling it Better Out Than In, Your Journey to Releasing Emotional Constipation.
Nice. I love it. That's brilliant. So with that, for the listeners, where can they grab a copy of Rolling With It, your book?
Yeah, so you can get it on Amazon. That's the main place it is right now. So Rolling With It, Lessons Learned While Sitting Down. If you put it in the search, you can put Rolling With It or and Vic. If you just put Rolling With It, it's going to throw you like some other items. You can even put Rolling With It book and you know, get that. You can also find me on my website, rollingwithvic.com, and that's V-I-K. So rollingwithvik.com. Instagram is also Rolling With Vic. TikTok is Rolling With Vic. And so you can follow me on any of those channels, and that's pretty much about it, I guess.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, I will pop, as always, all of the links in the bio. So if anyone wants to go purchase a copy or go connect with Vic, then, yeah, they can do so via the links. Vic, thank you. This has been a really fun chat. And as I've said, and I really can't say it enough, I admire your way of seeing life, and, I think it's pretty incredible the way you've just rolled with it, you know.
thank you. It wasn't all me, you know. There's a lot of support that's helped me kind of get here, so I appreciate you and having me, and you know, I always feel like we have a pretty cool vibe, so
yeah,
you know, really glad to have met you and be able to serve like purposes for each other, you know, even now.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Get the book, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Live Free Experience podcast. Now, I'm a real person back here, so every mention, every share, every bit of feedback is deeply valued. And I love nothing more than hearing what golden nuggets are landing for you. So if something did land for you, or there's someone in your world who needs to hear this, please share it with them and share it to your social media. Tag me in it so that I'm aware of it and I can share it to my story. As I said, every little bit counts. Every little bit helps get this message out there. And I want to close off today's conversation. Ladies, this one's for you. I have a free ebook and audio training called Fierce and Free. And this is for the woman who is looking to really step things up a level in her world, looking to overcome people-pleasing tendencies, build greater boundaries, and just be more discerning in where their energy is going. So you can get access to that one free at www.fiercefreewoman.com. And I will speak to y'all soon.